blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 305, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their days shall fill. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 305.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of the 19th chapter, the first 27 verses. Luke chapter 19, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them bring hither, and slay them before me. Thus far.
Let us try to pray. O Lord of heaven and of earth, he was little of stature, he was yet a great man. Oh, he was little in height, he was great among the publicans, chief among the publicans, leader of the publicans, recognized among the publicans. O Lord, thou didst make him very particular about his sins. O thou didst show them unto him. He was rich. Oh, how much had he gotten from others, and that was not his. And then he was ready to give it all back and more. O Lord, make us particular about our sins also. Or could it be also in this afternoon hour, when we are to hear thy commandment out of thy holy law? And then, Lord, thou knowest our hearts, each and every one of us. Oh, make us like that Zacchaeus of old. And when thou didst instruct him, Lord, in what his sin was, oh, then thou didst also give him a desire to see Jesus. Oh, give us such a desire also, and that we might see that our sin is greater than we can bear the punishment for. Oh, that is greater than we can make right in our own hearts. Oh, that we would see Jesus. Oh, then he would do anything to see thee. Oh, he could not see thee for his stature. Oh, he was ready to lay down all his honor. Thou didst make him like a little child to climb up into a tree. Oh, Lord, he was rich. He had the honor of the people. Oh, but thou didst make him dishonor himself. Oh, all that he might see Jesus. Oh, give it also in our hearts. Oh, give us that true humility. Oh, give that this may be the one and all thing that we desire, and that in our hearts we also may see Jesus. And thou didst fill that desire for him. Oh, thou didst then look to him. Oh, thou didst say, come down. Oh, thou didst speak unto him. Thou camest into his house. O Lord, thou didst deliver his soul, and thou wast his salvation. O thou knowest those that cry out for it also in our midst. O Lord, we cannot give it to ourselves. We cannot give it to one another. But it all must come from thee, and thou givest it unto those who cry for it, who desire for it, who become as a little child, who seek for it with all their hearts, who humble themselves before thee and all men. Oh, remember us then in this afternoon. May thy word go forth with power, and may it bring into our hearts what we cannot bring into it, and bring us in that place that we cannot bring ourselves. Oh, give thy word to have free course. And when we have never seen our sin, oh, open it unto us in this hour. Oh, give us to desire that we might live perfectly, and that we may live as we were created to live, and that we might live also as thou hast redeemed thy people to live. Oh, then it is not only with love to God, but out of this also love to one another, and to seek the welfare of one another from the bottom of our heart. Oh, Lord, if we could so live, oh, then we will have peace in our hearts when thou wilt forgive, and when thou wilt renew, and when thou wilt restore us into that blessed salvation the deliverance from all our iniquities, and that we might live uprightly according to thy blessed and thy holy law. O Lord, hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place, and give that in the midst of us new ones may be born in Zion. O that thou may give also in this week, also for that purpose, that one who may study in these past 2 years and may begin to speak an edifying word in the midst of the congregations. O Lord, he must take his exam. He must speak for us as a curatorium. We must make our judgments. O Lord, help us all together. O give us that prayer to thee for help for him, and that he may be given to go forth, and that thou mayest endue him with thy spirit in a great measure. O Lord, remember the vacant congregations, and that thou wouldst bless them, that thou would help all the office bearers as they do the labors of their hands, provide for them. And wilt thou give that this also may be in the time to come and help to them as they do labor in the midst of their flocks, be with the other student as he takes his first year exams as well, and the instructors and all that labor on behalf of our denomination. Lord, remember our schools also, and the instructors that go forth to teach our children. O Lord, we beseech thee once again from this place, from thy holy house, in this public place, and where we are all gathered together, and where thou sayest that those that are gathered, two or three even, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. O Lord, when we would be joined together, all together, in this afternoon with a cry to heaven, and that thou may help our parents when they need teachers for our children, for our own school. O Lord, we beseech thee here from thy dwelling place, and that thou mayest hear us from heaven, and that thou mayest forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. O that thou mayest incline the hearts of men to go into that occupation, O to give themselves to that most difficult but also that most blessed work. O Lord, wilt thou raise them up, maybe from places that we do not know. But when we are brought to our end, O Lord, then thou, there is room for thee to work. O come then and show us that thou art God, and that thou deliverest in all our trials and tribulations, and that thou mayest look upon our children in the need for their education. Thou dost tell us we must teach them. Lord, we cannot do it all ourselves, and we need help also from others. Oh, that thou may provide for us in thy mercy in the midst of our community. And oh, do bind us all together in that one desire and in that one purpose. Oh, may it be in that one truth, thy truth, the word of God. Oh, let thou may so remember all those that labor on behalf of our children, and all that labor on behalf of thy name and thy word that is brought to the ends of this earth in the last days of this world. Oh, that thou may bring many from the east and from the west to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. O Lord, do look upon all those that need thee in special ways, and the afflicted and the sick, our granddaughter in the hospital. O Lord, help her. O that thou mayest also from on high, as that great physician do, what all the physicians cannot do, give them wisdom, give them courage, and give to them help. Give our children also patience and submission to thee in all thy ways. Remember all that cannot have children. Remember those have difficulties in marriages. Do help those and that have difficulties with children. Remember those that are addicted to all kinds of substances and to pictures. O Lord, we beseech thee, when the devil does go about as a roaring lion, as an angel of light, for help and for deliverance from above, from him who has destroyed him, his power, who has bruised his head, or that we may be also rising up to that fight, to that warfare, and that thou mayest raise up many who have a desire to go in the way of that conflict in the innermost recess of their hearts. Look thou upon all those that suffered tribulation and trials, those that received treatments and may take medications for serious diseases. Thou knowest their place. Thou knowest also the prognosis. That is all from men, O Lord. But there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And the messages come unto us, and we need to be shaken awake from our death state. Oh, deliver us from ourselves. Help them, Lord. Strengthen them. Oh, give them that blessed pouring out of thy love in their hearts, the drawing of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, that they might be as that bride, oh, who so longed for, who so desired thee, who said, draw me, Lord, we will run after thee. Oh, make them even as the daughters of Jerusalem, coming with all their questions and all the desires of that life that knows so little and that loves so much. Oh, Lord, help. Help in all the circumstances of this life, in all the needs and wants and cares of families, of individuals, of young people, of children, of old age. Oh, Lord, all known to thee, all with one purpose traveling through this world, but two ends. Oh, there is an end of life, and there is end in death. Oh, we beseech thee that our hearts may be raised to thee with desires, longings, seekings. Oh, thou who hast come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost, a publican, and made unto him a seeking man, a finding man. Oh, Lord, make it so in our midst. Could it be in the days in which we live, encourage our young people, that they may behold it with their eyes, but that they also may experience it in their hearts. Be thou with us, O Lord, undeservedly, also in this afternoon hour, forgiving, taking away all of our many sins, not dealing with us according as they deserve, but taking reasons out of thyself, to be present in the midst of us. Sinners, wretched, miserable, undone, and unable to help ourselves. O Lord, we beseech thee for thy great and holy name's sake and for the coming of thy blessed kingdom in our midst, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 136 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Dust to dust the mortal dies. Both the foolish and the wise, none forever can remain. Each must leave his hoarded gain. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 136. beloved congregation, in Exodus 20, verse 15, we read, "Thou shalt not steal." That is the eighth commandment of God's holy law. What is that? To steal. You say that is to take something that is not ours. It does not belong to us. It belongs to someone else. Yes, belong. What does that mean? That something belongs, that this thing belongs to that person. This object, this bicycle, children, you say that belongs to me and that bicycle belongs to my brother or to my sister. Well, you say that means that it is mine and the other one that is theirs. Yes, but what does that mean? That something is mine or that something is theirs. Because Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb." What did he mean? He meant that when he was born, he didn't have anything. Nothing was his. He had no property. And when Job said that he would die, then he also would die naked. What he meant was that he will die without possessions, that all of his possessions, they would be given to someone else. Thus he comes into the world without possessions, without property, without goods. And he leaves this world in the same way. But in between his birth and his death, we know that Job was a very rich man. So there were many things and that Job had that were his, that Job could say, "I own." And now our question is this: how can that be? How is that? Where does that now come from? The ownership of property. Where does that originate? Well, there are some in this world who say, what we earn, we own. There's a certain truth to that, of course. But if we think about an inheritance, then we say an inheritance is owned, but it is not earned. Thus, that cannot be the origin, that cannot be where it is coming from. Others say this is all based on the agreements of men. In a large sense, it is a community type of agreement that you own certain things and that I own certain things, that is your property and that this is my property. That also cannot be. And why can that not be? Because this is a precept of the moral law. And that moral law is going deeper, it is more foundational than all the civil laws. And that are the agreements among men. That moral law has consequences in the consciences of people. That is not just in a civilized society, but that is in every place where a man exists with other people in the midst of this world. So where now is the origin? When the Lord made man, he made also the earth, And God has said that man should subdue the earth. So to subdue means what? It means to make it into slavery. That is to take that earth as a slave and to bring that earth into bondage to yourself. That means that that earth and everything that is given to us, that is all as a servant to us. And the Lord has commanded man when he has made him, put him in that garden, to dress and to keep it. And that he should have dominion over all of the animals, all of the beasts of the field. And so in the very beginning, when God has made the earth and he has placed man on the earth, he has placed him there as a steward. As a steward. That is, he has given unto him all the things that are in the midst of this world, that he must use all of those things. And this stewardship is the basis of the entire concept that we have of private property. Why things belong to you and why other things belong to someone else. All the time that we are tarrying here upon this world. Thus that ownership is actually nothing more than a delegated authority. It is delegated to mankind. It is over things that in fact do not truly belong to us, but they belong unto God. Everything belongs to him because it is all his creation. And man is given a charge over everything that the Lord puts into his hands in this world. And God gives man rights. Rights, we say, well, we need to lose all our rights. No, wait a moment. That is an expression that we say in a spiritual way, yes, before the Lord, we need to become a person that is without rights. But congregation, on the other hand, rights are extremely important. And the rights that God gives to a person must all be upheld by man. That is the purpose of the courts. And now God has given to man things, given rights to particular people over particular things, and not only rights, but also he is going to call us into account for our use of everything that he has put in our hands. And that is the subject of our catechism for this afternoon. In Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 42, which speaks of the eighth commandment concerning property. Question and answer 110. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. Question and answer 111. But what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. So far our catechism. The eighth commandment concerning property. First, our own property, and second, our neighbor's property. The eighth commandment concerning property, first our own, and second, our neighbor's property. Congregation, in the sixth commandment, God, we heard, protects the life of a man, of each man, a life that he has given. We heard next to that, in the seventh commandment, God is preserving the next degree, that is the chastity of a man. And now in this commandment, God is preserving also the property or the possessions of a man. And why is it that God will preserve or have preserved among men, each man, his own property? That is because with the receipt of such property also comes obligations. Thus we have heard from God's word about the pounds, each servant receiving a pound. And so the property, the goods, that is, all the things that we receive in this world from the Lord are as these pounds. They are lent by the Lord unto us. And for all of this, we, you and I, are going to be called into judgment. And so because we are going to be called into judgment for all this, for what we have done with it, what is the increase of it for the Lord and his kingdom? Because we are going to be called into account and because we have to give this account, the Lord has said that our fellow man is not permitted to touch those things, to take those things from us that we are called by God to give an account to him for. And that is the reason that it is right for a man also to guard his own property against theft, because it is not ours, because it is something that is lent to us, and that we have an obligation to watch over this lent property, because it needs to be returned unto the Lord. So how will it now be when the Lord is calling us into account? When the Lord will say to us, how much have you gained by trading with all of the things, more or less, that I have given to you? How much have you gained by trading for me? Of all the goods that I have created and I have put for a little time between the cradle and the grave into your hands. In the first place, when we come to give that account, then we must be sure that everything that we are there giving an account for is our own. That actually it does not belong to someone else. Because how can we be commended by the Lord if we have in our hands material, goods, property that is not ours, that belongs to our neighbor? If we have, with that which is not ours, fed a whole nation of people for 100 years and commended ourselves very often for it, we will be judged and condemned by God for having and using a property which he did not give unto us. Thus the Lord, when we read about King Saul, we read King Saul spared. He says the people spared. Tried to blame it on the people, but he was the king. He says the people spared the best of the cattle, of the sheep, the oxen, that they might sacrifice unto the Lord. The Lord says, Saul, it was not yours. You had no business with this property which you were forbidden. You cannot offer what is stolen property unto the Lord. Thus, how does property actually become ours when we are living in this world? That is morally ours, and if it is right, also legally ours in a number of ways. We have, for example, in the way of discovery and occupation. If we think about lands that had years ago, there is not so much of this, I think, anymore in the world, but years ago, lands that were not discovered, and people came and they have discovered them, they have occupied those lands, and those lands have become theirs. That is similar, children. When you find something which is lost, someone lost it, and you pick it up, and then you say, I have found it, that is now mine. Is that right? Not yet. Because first you must try to find the person who lost it. And if you try and you advertise and you report it to the police or whatever it is, you try to find the person, and after so long no one claims it, then yes, then that object becomes your own. So that is a way that we can receive something that becomes ours. We know the land of Canaan that was given to the children of Israel, but that was in a special way because the Lord had reserved that land for them, and the Lord was judging the inhabitants of that land, and he would cast them out. There is another way that things become ours. That is by gift. That is by donation very freely, when someone who owns it says that you may have it. And just like Joseph did give his grave for the use of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may be buried in this grave. And we have mentioned, for example, an inheritance the daughters of Zelophehad. Then what did the Lord say? That property that belongs unto those daughters, that is given to them by inheritance when the father has passed away. We receive things also by labor and production. When you are on your farms and you are planting your grain, or you are growing your crops and you're increasing your cattle, and then there are new ones and there is growth, and you say, that is now the fruit of my industry, then all of that fruit becomes your own. Things become all our own by invention, by design, by manufacturing. When we are going to take raw materials and we invent something new and We make something out of it, children. If you say, I made this, you sew something, girls, and you say, now, I made this out of some fabric, then you say, this is mine. I have made this thing. Thus, there are many ways that things may become ours. But by far the greatest amount of our property is becoming ours by purchase from one another, or what we would call bartering, that is directly exchanging things without the use of money in between. And this purchasing or bartering is a process that is very much open to evil, that is, to abuse. And why? That is because of our fall, because of our evil nature. So there are many temptations that are coming in us when every single day we are buying and we are selling, each of us. And so we read also in God's word, Solomon, he says, it is not Seth the buyer, but when he goes his way, he boasteth. So what did he do? He was crying down the value. He says, it is not as valuable as you say. And he is trying to get what he calls a good deal. Do you ever walk away, congregation, from such a good deal? Or maybe you say, that man, he was so ignorant. Yeah. He may be ignorant, but you are a thief. And so what would you rather be? Because there is not guilt in his ignorance, that he did not know the value of it. But there is guilt in your theft. What we have gotten by such means, we may not call our own. What we have gotten by such means belongs still actually to that man. It is stolen, and we have not paid for it what that thing is actually worth. Thus, morally, all of our transactions must be subject to what we call today commutative justice. Commutative justice. That sounds like a big word, young people, but it is not very complicated. That just means that there must be a fair exchange of goods, that the value has to be fair, that the one is giving and the other is giving, and those two amounts need to be the same. And now the eighth commandment is speaking about this exchange of goods as well. And the eighth commandment is commanding us that we must follow a certain rule that is very easy to memorize, and it is very easy to understand. A certain rule, we call it the golden rule. And our fathers speak about it here, that we deal with others as I would have others deal with me. That is, in the exchange of our goods each and every day. The courts, yes, they are there for those who have been abused in this. And then they have recourse unto those courts. But God knows what we have and what we miss that is not our own, or what we miss and that actually was our own. Abraham was a godly man, and he paid what we would call a fair market price for the possession of a burying place when he bought that place from the sons of Heth. Thus, that fair market price may never be hidden from a seller and may never be hidden from a buyer. Both of those two persons are involved in a contract and an agreement. And both of those persons have a right to know what is the true value of the things that are being transacted. We do not say that merchants do not also have a certain right to their commercial intelligence, which they have gathered by their own sweat, by their own labor. That is not all belonging naturally to this other person, but there are limits, because if someone has a piece of well, what he thinks is a piece of quartz, and you know it is a diamond, then you may not buy it as a piece of quartz. You may not say, well, he doesn't know it. No, he has a right to the knowledge that it is a diamond, and you have a duty to share with him that knowledge, that you are not taking advantage of his ignorance, because that item, that value belongs not to you, but that item, that value belongs unto him. So we must ask now ourselves whether, as our fathers say, that we have appropriated unto ourselves that which belongs to our neighbor. And if we have so appropriated things to ourselves, we must return them. Sometimes that's not possible anymore. That's a solemn thing. You ever think about that? You say, maybe that person has passed away already. Maybe they have moved to Europe. I cannot just give that back. That's a solemn thing, congregation. Oh, how hot is that possession in your hand. How that will lay then upon our conscience, when we are never able to return a stolen possession. Ah, then there is one place for you, and that is with the Lord, who is still able to forgive, even willing to forgive, when we are not able anymore honestly to give back our stolen goods unto our neighbor. What happens when the Lord gives us a new heart, children? Then we become like that Zacchaeus. Oh, then he is looking. Oh, he says, what have I done in my life? Oh, he says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. Oh, he says, I restore him fourfold. I give him back four times as much for the hurt and that I have given unto him. That's now what the Lord is doing in our life. Oh, does the Lord make you to think about your sins? Does the Lord make the items that we steal hot in our hands? But now when we may say, now these things that I have gotten them by fair labor. Congregation, then we are not done yet with the eighth commandment. Now, why not? Well, several reasons. In the first place, this commandment, our fathers say, forbids covetousness. We hope to speak about that more when we speak about the tenth commandment, but here speaking especially about our neighbor's goods. Ah, that theft. Where does that begin? Doesn't begin with the deed. No, it begins in our heart. It begins with the desire. Thus, that eighth commandment is a command to each and every man to contentment. Contentment with all the things that we have, with that particular pound that the Lord has distributed each and every one, his portion, and then that contentment, this is now the pound that God has given unto me, and that we are not desiring the pound that was given to someone else. And now, that does not mean we may not trade for it or trade with it. That does not mean that we must not seek an increase in it, because we must do that. That is now commanded us. That is not for our pleasure. No, that is typically what we do, right? Say, it is all for me. And I want this, and I want this, and I want to enjoy life, and I want to go here, and I want to go there. O congregation, the Lord gives to us so much freedom. But all what is now in our heart, because there is so much need in the midst of this world, and all that that the Lord has given to us, we have to give an account to Him for. Thus, in all of these things, there are excesses. We call it ambition, not in the good sense, but in the evil sense. And that is that we have an inordinate desire for wealth. But what do we read of Christ? He says, the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. That is now the way he went through this world. He had nothing. And how he went through this world doing good and fulfilling the purpose and the will, which was his meat to do, of his own Father. Oh, so what is now living in our heart? Children, do you ever desire the toy of your brother or of your sister or of your friend? Young people, do you ever desire the car of your friend? Parents, do you ever desire the house of someone else? Oh, there is never a theft where this is not the beginning. That is living in the desires of our heart. Let us sing Psalter 97, stanzas 1 and 4. A little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold of many wicked men. 1 and 4 of 97.
Thank you.
commandment concerning property, first, our own property, second, our neighbor's property. The congregation, first, one more thing about our own property, and that is about the sin of prodigality. You say, that is the word I don't know. Oh, but we do. Our children know it too. That was the sin of the prodigal son. That's the sin of prodigality. And what was the sin of the prodigal son? We read that in the Bible, that he wasted his substance, that was his inheritance, that was his own substance, given to him by God through his own father, we read, with riotous living. Our fathers call that here abuse and waste of God's gift. We may not do what we want. Say, it's my own. Let us remember, with regard to one another, it is our own. But with regard to God, it is not our own. Thus, we may not do just what we want with the things that God has given to us. Otherwise, the Lord says, take it away from him, and I will give it to him who has the 10 talents, who has the most. I will give it to him who is able and who is willing and desirous to bring fruit from all of those gifts unto myself. What does it mean, congregation, to be frugal? That is an economic prudence. We say to be thrifty. It is a duty not to waste. It is a duty of the 8th commandment to take care of the property, the goods that God has given unto us. Without this frugality, then we also cannot fulfill our other duties. What are our other duties? We have a duty to hospitality. We have a duty to liberality. As our fathers say, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. That is liberality. And if I am not frugal, if I am wasting my goods, then the needy who God will serve through us will miss the portion that he has reserved for them. There are extremes on every side, because on the other side we think about Nabal, and he was so miserly and so stingy that he would not give David what was due unto him. That brings us to our second thought, that is our neighbor's property. You say, David, what did he do? He was asking Nabal to feed his men. So how do you dare do that, David? That's not your property. You are asking Nabal for his property. But that is not so. That was David's property. Nabal still had it, but it belonged unto David. You say, how did it become his? Well, it became his by right of service. Service that he had given unto Nabal in securing all his property. What did the men of Nabal's household say? They said, David and his men were a wall about us by day and a wall about us by night. Thus, Nabal owed something unto David. And David says he only asked Nabal if he would give to him what he owed to him and his men, that he would feed them with food and drink. But Nabal withheld the wages of David and his men. And to withhold the wages is to withhold what belongs not to you anymore, but that belongs unto your neighbor. Commutative justice. What is that? That is that the wages that are given for work, they must be equal in value to the service that has been performed. And then we want to stop here a moment again, because sometimes we rebuke you, and other times then we must commend you when it is right. And we have heard more than once, quite a few times, of those of you who employ other people, how that men are saying what a good employer, how he takes care of us, and how good it is to work for this company, for that company, congregation, that is commendable. And now employers, employees, do you also give that same value back to your employer that he is paying you for? That you are honest, that you are faithful, and that you are diligent in all of your work, because you are dealing with things, a value that is belonging to another person, that is your employer. Stealing and theft are related. Stealing is the act. Theft is broader. Theft includes also the intention of this act. So when the Lord says, thou shalt not steal, that is specifically about the act. But that commandment includes then everything that is broader, that includes all of the intentions, the motives that are living in the heart of a person when he is committing this sinful act. Solomon says, men do not despise a theft. They don't despise a thief. If he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Now when Nathan said to David, he told them a story, children, about a rich man who took a poor man's lamb. He stole it. And we read David was very angry, and that makes us angry as well, doesn't it? But when we think about a poor man who is hungry and he steals a little food, are you angry? I think if you stole mine, you say, I would not be angry. And what makes the difference? Well, you say they both stole, and it was congregation, both sin. For both of them, it is guilt. But for one, we have sympathy. And for the other, there is anger in our heart. So because of the circumstances, our feelings are different. And still, the need of that poor man, that hungry man, the need does not justify his sin. He may not do it. And before the Lord, that man remains guilty. And the Lord says if he is found as a thief, he has to restore sevenfold. This now is what makes liberality so important. By those who have substance, that we provide according to our ability for the poor. Because they are laid under a temptation that is extremely severe. If a man were perfect, he would not touch food. He would rather die than sin. That is the way it ought to be. Because that food was not given unto him. And if the Lord would have him without it, then the Lord would have him also to have to die. And now to submit. Ah, you say, that is impossible. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But now we have a duty. We have obligations to liberality that poor persons that are not set, they are not set in that position of severe temptation that they would have to steal in order to uphold their own life. That is why David says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will hear him in that day of trouble. The Lord will bless his house, we read. He will make all his bed in his sickness. That eighth commandment. Our fathers say that obliges us to promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may. That is concerning the property which he owns. What a difference between this and reality, we would say, right? What lives within our heart. Because what do I do? I want to promote as much as I can, not my neighbor's advantage, but always my own advantage. And man has made so many tricks and devices, as our fathers call them, all with one purpose, one intent, that is to promote my own advantage. And in those days, we read it is unjust weights and ells and measures and false coins. Many of these things still existing. But in our days, of course, it has just multiplied, the way of commerce becoming different, and so many, many different ways in trying to rob our neighbor. Hidden fees that are charged, electronic scams, covenants or contracts that are broken, bankruptcies and so on, that goes on and on, and so many ways that are so subtle that man is not able to find them. So the world that is filled with theft, all that one thing to promote my own advantage. Oh, how different the world of commerce would be if only this law would live in the heart of every man, that he is here to promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance that I can or may. Say, well, does that mean can or may? I understand there are sometimes we can't because we don't have the resources to help everyone. That is true. But are there also instances that we may not? We read about Ruth's nearer kinsman, right? There is a kinsman nearer than I. He says, I cannot redeem it, he says, lest I mar my own inheritance. Thus he could not help her, because he had his own inheritance, and he would destroy, he would mar it. So our promoting the advantage of our neighbor also has to be done with prudence. So it is possible that a husband and that a father goes to lengths which are too great in attempting to help his neighbor in this world, that are beyond his bounds of giving, that are depriving his own family, his own children, of their bread and of their water. So fidelity, what is that? Fidelity, that is the faithfulness to all of our obligations and duties. We need to be faithful, but we have many obligations, we have many duties, and now prudence, that is how that a person is distributing that property in a way that is wise, and that is attempting to take care of all of the responsibilities that God lays upon him. Thou shalt not steal. So many ways that we transgress this commandment of the Lord. And why? Because Solomon, he says, money answereth all things. What do we say? We say money is power. Money gives us the ability to enjoy. Money gives us the ability to influence. So money is power. Money answereth all things. And man by nature is willing even to transgress the law of God in order to increase his portion in this world. The Bible speaks about usury. We would speak about borrowing money and lending money with interest that is not unlawful. The Bible says the children of Israel may not do that really to their poor brethren. They may do that to others, but then there must be always a fairness in that value. The Lord forbade his people to oppress the poor when they were forced to sell their land. And so they had to because they had no other way to sustain themselves. And then the Lord says that you must give to them the fair price upon that property. So to take advantage of another person's necessity is wicked. That person needs it right now. That person is in a bind, and I have the ability to take advantage of that person. That is, congregation, a sin against the eighth commandment, that is stealing. It ought to be just the opposite. When a man is in a bind in this world, that we are ready to help that person, that he is able to come out of his bind. The Bible speaks about a person giving his raiment to pledge. What was that? When he would give something to pledge, then he actually gave his outer coat. And the Bible says, you must give that back to him before the sun goes down. Because if that is all he has left to pledge, that is what he sleeps in. They use that outer coat to wrap themselves in and keep themselves warm in the night. Thus, you may never oppress a person who is needy. We speak about taxation. To not pay our taxes is to rob the government. And what is government? That is robbing our society, that is robbing our neighbor. But when a man is slothful and he will not work when he is able to work, then he is doing the same. Then he wants to take from government and everyone to support him, but he does not want to give back unto the government. We read in the Bible of a woman who threw in two mites, that is, into the treasury of the house of the Lord. That was the love of her heart. She desired, and the Lord, he says, she gave all that she had. Congregation, that was the love that was living in her heart, and that is completely free. A man may give as little as he desires. He may give as much as he desires. But it is also possible that we rob God. And that is between a man and the Lord. Oh, we can read about Ananias and Sapphira. Ah, there was deceit in their donation, we would say. And the Lord did not accept it. Oh, thou shalt not steal. Ahab thought he would be happy. But all he had, he thought he would now be happy if he would have a little more. Oh, if he would have that vineyard now of Naboth. But as soon as he came down to possess it, he was cursed. You know what Jeremiah says? He says, as that partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. So think about that, children. A bird sitting on the eggs and they never hatch. And she sits and sits and sits. And she never receives the joy of the labors and that she has put forth. Jeremiah says, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days and at his end shall be a fool. He shall not have the enjoyment of them. Oh, that day that that rich man, he said unto his soul, he says, take thine ease. He says, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease now. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was now that very day that the Lord says, thou fool, because this day shall thy soul be required of thee. And now who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? And so the Lord says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give to us to know the difference between the riches of this world and being rich toward thee. O that we may have that portion. Oh, we are allowed to covet it. We are allowed to seek it. Oh, there is no seeking it too much. There is no desiring it too much. There is no calling for it too much. Oh, we are allowed. We are commanded. We are drawn. And I will give it unto those who seek it. Oh, give us then to forsake the world and every former friend that we may obtain that blessed portion and that we may not leave then everything behind when we appear at thy judgment seat for the portion that thou givest to our soul that we may bring with us. Oh, that thou may receive us unto thyself. Look upon us. Bless thy holy word. Forgive our many, many sins and wash us in the blood of thy dear son. Be with us in this day, further on thy holy day and in this week. Watch over each one of us in all the labors of our hands. And wilt thou watch over the fields in the rain that thou hast given, and that it may be sufficient, and that it may not be overwhelming, that it may be a blessing, and that it may not be a judgment, and that thou mayest help all those and that hope to travel in the week that is before us, the curatorium, but also the many other meetings that have to take place in these days. Watch over us all together. Bring us all safely back again at thy appointed time and bless thou the labors of our hands for Jesus' sake. Amen. 57, 1, 2, and 3, the earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.